If we went back to John chapter number 20, we won't take time to do that tonight. But I taught out of these verses and I dealt with Mary Magdalene coming to the Lord Jesus. There's no question that Mary, when she came to Jesus, the Bible said that she came while it was yet dark. Mary there is dealing with dark times in her life. And the Lord Jesus met the need that she had, not in the way she expected, but exceeding and abundantly above what she had expected to find, she found there at the sepulcher that day. We stepped on into this chapter and we dealt with Thomas. Thomas dealt with doubt in his life. He was dealing with doubting the Lord and doubting what was going on. But the Bible didn't say necessarily that he doubted, but the Bible said that he said that he would not believe. Brother Kevin, unbelief is sin according to this Bible, and Thomas was in sin. And when your doubt, which is intellectual, turns into unbelief, which is something that you do with your heart, it is a serious thing with God. But Jesus took care of the doubt with Thomas. He showed him his hands and he said, Thomas, you're looking at the wrong hands. You're looking at what you've done, what you haven't done. You need to look at what I've done, and it'll dispel all the doubt in your life. We step into chapter number 21 and we see here Peter. Peter, I believe, in this chapter is singled out for some reason. I'll deal with some of that shortly. But Peter is singled out in this text, and Jesus deals with Peter specifically. Yes, there's the disciples there, six other disciples, as a matter of fact. But Jesus, for some reason, is very interested in Peter. Peter's not necessarily dealing with doubt. He's not necessarily dealing with a dark time in his life. But Peter here is dealing with disappointment. I believe that Peter was disappointed for two reasons. I believe that he was disappointed in his failure, in the fact that he had failed God, and I believe he was disappointed in his future. You see, things had not turned out the way that Peter thought that they would turn out. Things had not turned out like he thought they would, and they had not turned out like he thought they should. Number one, he didn't think turn out like he thought they would, because he told the Lord, he said, though all men forsake you, I'll never forsake you, Lord. But it didn't quite turn out that way. And he's looking for a kingdom to be set up, and he finds out that the king is crucified, Brother Mike, and he doesn't set up his kingdom. And here Peter is now dealing with disappointment in his life. Let me say tonight that when you fail God, you will face disappointment if you're a Christian. You will come in times in your life in failures that you'll stand in awe before God, and you'll go out as Peter did and weep bitterly. What a disappointing time when we as Christians fail our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we have the opportunity to stand for Him, when we have the opportunity, as the preacher has preached, everything that we need to be right with God has been given us, but yet, as Christians, we fail God, and it's easy as a Christian to say, what's the use? Why even try? Why even go on? I remember praying as a young man, saying, Lord, I'll never commit my life to you again, because I done did it so many times in my mind, and I thought in my heart, only to fail him time and time again. And you get to the place, you get disappointed with yourself, disappointed in what's going on in your life, disappointed in what you think should be happening in your life. And before you know it, you're disappointed with God. Here we see Peter very quickly. I'll move on. We see in these verses that there is a lever in verse number 3. Simon Peter said this. He said, I go a fishing. We can look back at Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 18. Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, this same sea. Jesus walked by in the beginning of his ministry, and the Bible said that he saw two brethren, Simon, which is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net, for they were fishers, the Bible said. These men were men of God that God had called. Now, here they are. We find these men. Yes, they love God. Yes, they had given their life in service to God, but now we find them leaving the will of God. walking away from what God had called them to do. Let me say today that there is nothing wrong with fishing unless God has called you away from fishing. There's nothing wrong with going out and enjoying pleasure unless there's a specific pleasure that God has called your life from. So we see a lever in this text. Number two, we see there's a leader in this text, because Peter said this. He said, I go a fishing. And the Bible said that the other disciples that were there said, we're going to go with you too. I thought about this today, Brother Wells. The sad thing about people walking away from the will of God is that you very seldom go by yourself. Very seldom when you leave the will of God do you walk away, and you walk away by yourself. The Bible talks in the book of Ruth about Elimelech. And Elimelech left Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread, when there was a famine there. But he didn't go by himself. There wasn't people standing there saying, let me go with you. It was his own family that he led away, and he paid for it with his own life and in the life of his two children. It's a very serious thing when you as an individual lead other people away from the will of God. Very serious thing. We see a leader here. But I want you to see the Lord for just a minute. I want you to see the Lord. Look at verse number 4, and we're going to see, first of all, where the Lord stood. The Bible said that when it was morning, that Jesus stood on the shore. Now, how significant is that? Well, Brother Keith, I looked at it like this. Jesus, when they left the will of God, you know where Jesus was at? He was at the place where they dropped him off at. He's back on the shore. Now, they're in the boat, and they're away from God. I know you. Jesus will never leave you, but you can leave the will of God. And if you're going to get it back in the will of God, you got to go back to where you left Jesus at to get back in the will of God. Now, let me say that there is stability on the shore where Jesus is. But let me say this tonight, that in the middle of the sea, in the midst of the storm, in the will of God, when Jesus is on board, is more safe than 300 foot off the shore when Jesus ain't on the boat and you're out of the will of God. Amen. Now, this sea was 6.5 miles wide. And in the middle of the sea, they encountered a storm, but they were in the will of God. And Jesus took care of everything. But now the Bible said they're 300 feet from the shore, and Jesus is not on board, and they are in a very vulnerable place out of the will of God. We see where Jesus stood. Look at what Jesus said unto them. Verse number 5. Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they said unto him, no. You know what Jesus was saying to them? He was asking them a question. Have you caught any fish? Have you had any success over the night? Why, you've been out of the will of God. How successful has it been for you? Have you got any meat? And you know what the answer was, and always has been, and always will be? The answer's no. You see, don't be too distraught tonight if it don't work out very good for you when you leave the will of God. Don't get all upset and now up in the air because you walked away from the will of God and it doesn't work out very good for you. Because it is very important to understand that there is no success outside of the will of God when you leave the will of God for your life. I thought about this. In verse number 7, Peter was naked. He had taken off his fisher's coat. Why do you think he took off the fisher's coat? I read and I studied and I looked, but this is what I came to, Brother Jeremiah. I believe that he took that fisher's coat off because it just didn't feel right. It just didn't fit right. It just was not comfortable. Now, there was a day in Peter's life when he cherished that fisher's coat. There was a day in Peter's life when that coat meant a lot to him because his life revolved around fishing. But a fisher's coat don't feel right when you're supposed to have a suit on preaching the Word of God. He put that coat on, and I believe he tried to fish and tried to do through the night, and all of a sudden he just like, man, it doesn't feel right anymore. I remember as a teenager, we lived in this gym back here. Brother Jeremiah's got knots and ankles that big around to prove it. We lived in that gym. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I wasn't great, but there was not a shot that I was uncomfortable shooting. I'd stay over there for hours from daylight till dark, shooting baskets, putting that basketball through the hoop, trying to step back and do it further. We'd stand out there and shoot 100 at a time and throw it to each other, and it felt comfortable. But you know what? I come up here last Monday night, played with these boys, and it just don't feel right anymore. Just don't feel the same, Brother Keith. It's not as comfortable as it used to be. It doesn't feel near as comfortable as when I stood last night with this Bible in front of those young people and started preaching the gospel. It just don't do the same thing for me anymore. I remember I went to the Fentrezas and I began to work for them. And I worked, I'm talking about 6 nights a week. I was riding horses, putting those bridles on, taking a bridle off, putting a bridle on 6 and 7 at night. And I loved it and I was consumed with it. But God began to do something in my heart, began to deal with me about preaching. And Chad said, "What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you?" I said, "I can't explain it, but it just doesn't do the same thing for me anymore." And come time to him, I said, "You know what? I got to quit. I've got to go preach. God wants me to preach, and I got to be preaching. Hey, there's nothing wrong tonight with riding a horse unless you're supposed to be preaching somewhere while you're riding the horse. And there's nothing wrong with fishing unless God has called you to be fishers of men and sinners instead of fishers of the sea and fish." Just didn't feel the same anymore. Let me tell you tonight that when God has dealt with your heart about areas of sanctification, you better move. And if you'll move toward God, you'll find out that the desires you had for certain things, somehow He just takes them away. It just don't feel right anymore. I mean, I can go ride and I enjoy it and I have a good time, but I'd a whole lot rather hold a Bible than I would a bridle or a basketball tonight. What I'm saying is the fisher's coat won't ever feel right when God wants you to have a suit on preaching the Word of God. Amen. We see what Jesus said. We see what Jesus showed them here. Verse number 6 said, "You cast your net on the right side and you're going to find fish." You know what Jesus showed them, Brother Travis? He showed them where fish were. That's what he showed them. He said, "Hey, I want to show you something. Put your net on the right side and you'll find what you're looking for." You know what Jesus was teaching them? That he is the key ingredient tonight to success in your life. Nothing without God can be successful. Oh, it might be successful in the eyes of men, but it won't be successful with God, and it won't even be successful in your own heart. Jesus showed them where fish was, and he said, "I'm the key ingredient that brings success in your life." We see the Lord. I want you to see the lesson here. Jesus begins to use the elements around him to teach them an object lesson, to reveal himself to them and show them some things about himself, but to show them some things about themselves as well. So he begins to look around, and there are some things that he used as a lesson to teach them something. I see, first of all, that he used the fire. He used the fire. Say, "What do you mean, Brother Josh?" Well, the Bible said that as soon as they were come to land, that they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon. And Jesus called them to come and dine and to sit down by the fire. Now, you look up this phrase, fire of coals, and it's only used one other time in the Bible. And the same individual involved here was the same individual involved in the other text. You'll find it a few chapters back when Peter is standing by a coal of fires warming himself. And you know what he does there? He denies the Lord. And you know what Jesus does? He brings him back to another coal of fires and gives him the opportunity to deny him or show devotion. In that tonight, just like our Lord Jesus, amen, when we have failed him by the fire, warming ourselves by the devil's fire to bring us once again to another fire and give us the opportunity to show our devotion unto him. Praise God. So he begins to use this fire as an object lesson. You see, Jesus could have prepared fish and bread without the fire. Where'd he get the fish? Where'd he get the bread? He spoke it into existence, and he could have spoke them well done, medium well, medium rare, or however he wanted to do it. But he cared enough for Peter to start a fire of coals to give him another chance where he failed to pick up and to do what's right. Hallelujah. That might not do nothing for you, but praise God, it excites me tonight. He used the fire. Number two, he used the fish to teach him a lesson, Brother Keith. He used these fish. He said, I want to give you a lesson. And I want to use these fish to give you a lesson about my power. I want you to understand that I've got power over all things. I've got power over the fish of the sea. I've got power over the fowl of the air. I can put fish in your net. I can put money in a fish's mouth. I can make a donkey talk. I can make whatever I want to happen with the elements of this world to take place. I can make it happen. I believe what he's saying is this. I want you guys to understand something. The will of God ain't quite turned out like you thought it was going to, but I'm still in control. I know the kingdom ain't being set up. I know we're not standing up and you're not ruling at my hand. You're not ruling in my kingdom right now. But let me tell you something, boys. I'm still in control. The fish are right there. I gave them to you. I put them in the net. And even though you don't think that I'm in control, you watch me die. You watch me be buried. But praise God, I'm in control of what's going on. Hallelujah. I know you saw me die, but I want you to understand something. I have the same power when I touch the blinded eyes now as I did then. He's not walking around doing miracles in the eyes of men, but he said, come here, boys, let me show you something. I still got the same power. I'm still the same King. I'm still the same God. I'm still the same one that met the needs that you saw me take care of. Let me show you something about my power with these fish. I believe he showed them some proof with these fish. You see, what he did was he used these fish, Brother Kevin, as proof that obedience to the Word of God is always successful. Amen. You know what? There was a time that Jesus said, cast your nets. And Peter said, Lord, we've caught nothing. But nevertheless, at thy word, we will cast the net. And he cast the net, singular, and you know what happened? It broke. But this time there's no arguing. They did wholly and fully what God said, and the miracle is seen in the fact that the net was full, Brother Jeremiah, but it did not break. And he's saying, I want to prove to you tonight that it is always right, but it's always successful to obey my word, what I tell you to do. There was proof. Then I believe, Brother Bradley, that there was a proving here. He's not here. I wish he was. There's a proving here that takes place. You see, what he did, what Peter did here, Brother Kevin, or what Jesus did for Peter is that he proved to him one thing. You see, Jesus said, told the disciples, he said, you go get those fish and you drag them up to the shore. Bring the fish here. Why did he tell him to bring the fish? What did he already have on the coal of fire? He had fish and he had bread. And you know what they found out? When they expensed all of their energy out there dragging the fish to the shore, Brother Jim, they found out that Jesus already had provided everything that they needed before they ever got there. And tonight, what you young men are looking for out in this world, what you go out there and expense your energy for, when you finally get it back and get it to the shore, you're going to find out that Jesus has already provided what you're looking for. He's proven that to them, Brother Grubbs. He's showing them that I've got what you need. Now, I'll tell you something about 153 fish. They'll go bad before you can eat them. And Jesus didn't say, give us this day everything that I need for the next year. But he said, you pray, give us this day our daily bread. When they got back to the shore, they found out that Jesus had already provided everything that they needed. Everything, young ladies, that you need, Jesus already has it. When you go out and you catch all you can catch and you drag it to the shore, you'll find out that Jesus has already got it. That's what he proved to them. He proved that with fish. He gave them a lesson of power, a lesson of proof, a lesson of proving. He gave them a lesson about passion. You see, Jesus asked Peter this question. He said, lovest thou me more than these? Now, tonight you need to understand that the primary quality for any Christian is love. That's the primary quality. Jesus is teaching Peter a lesson here by asking him, why did he single Peter out, Brother Wells? Why did he say, lovest thou me more than these? I'm talking to you, Peter. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Why did he single him out? Why did he make seemingly a spectacle of Simon Peter in front of his peers? Because Simon Peter was the one that said, I'm willing to go with thee to prison. I'm willing to die for thee. Simon Peter made a spectacle of the Lord Jesus in front of all the people around. Jesus said, Peter, I'm going to single you out. You are the one that said that you were going to go with me to prison. You said you'll go with me to death. You said that you were the one that would stand. Yet when the pressure was on, Peter, you were the one that was most cowardly. You were the one that denied, Peter. It was you. Let me say that Jesus didn't ask Peter, are you ready to keep my word now? It's not what he asked him. He didn't say, Peter, are you zealous now? He didn't say, Peter, are you full of knowledge now? No, what he said was, do you love me? You see, that's the trait that Jesus can work with. You don't love him, you can be as zealous as anybody tonight. And you can have all the knowledge in the world, but Jesus can't do much with you if you don't love him. But if you ever get it established that you love him and that he loves you tonight, he can build off that. That's a trait Jesus can work with, is love for him. Peter, do you love me? Once we establish that, Peter, we can move on from there. His passion, he begins to give him a lesson about passion by what he asked him. He gave him a lesson about passion by the amount of fish that were here. Me and Brother Jeremiah were talking about this the other night, and he gave this to me, and I thought it was good. Verse number 6, the Bible said that there was a multitude of fish. In verse number 11, the Bible said there was 153 fish and they were a great catch. They were great fish. This was an exceeding abundance and amount of fish that Simon Peter caught here. There was a great amount. And Jesus saw to it that there was a great amount. If they had a fish and Jesus had showed up and they had pulled two into the shore, it wouldn't have been probably that big of a deal to Simon Peter. But Jesus made sure that net was full because he wanted him to prove something about himself. Say, Brother Josh, how relevant is that? Well, I'll tell you how relevant it is. I've heard and you've heard our pastor give the story about playing golf. And that God said, you just can't do that like you used to. It's just not for you. You can't, you pour yourself into it. And Peter poured himself into whatever he did. everything that went on, he was jumping in the middle. But he said, God said, I can't do it no more. I can't play golf. I'm going to tell you what, every once in a while, he'll get to go play, and he might shoot an 80 or an 85 and maybe an 87, Brother Travis. And you know, it's fun, but it's really not that big of a deal. But if he went out tomorrow and he shot a 65, and he went out the next day and shot another 65, and he went out the next day and shot another 65, it'd be a real big deal to him, wouldn't it? Because you know what he'd want to do? He'd want to play more and more and more. Because the pros shoot 65. And that's a big deal. What I'm saying is that 153 fish for this fisherman was a big deal to God and was a big deal to this man. And he said, I want you to do something. This right here, Simon Peter, this is a great catch. This is a great catch for a fisherman. I mean, can you see the zeal inside of him? I mean, he caught fish this big and he had the whole net full of them. And Jesus said, Peter, do you love me more than these? Jesus has proven something to him. He's testing him. He's asking him the question, do you love me more than this great amount of fish? You love me? See, he's proved his passion by asking, by the amount, by the answer that Peter gave. You see, the answer to the question, Brother Keith, lovest thou me more than these? You know what the answer is? The answer is a yes or no question. It's a yes or no question. I give this illustration, I'm going to use him tonight. If Brother Keith and Miss Candace were sitting somewhere and one of Brother Keith's old flames come walking by and Miss Candace looked at Brother Keith and said, Keith, do you love me more than you love her? And Brother Keith said, well, Candace, see, you know I love you. That's not what she asked you. Because she knows that you love her. What she wants to know is not do you love her, but do you love her more than her? You see, it's a yes or no question. It's not, well, you know that I love you, sweetheart. I'm not asking you, do you love me? I want to know if you love me more than you love her. Let me say tonight that this question was a very legitimate question. As good as I can say legitimate, Misty. It was a very legitimate question. You see, if Brother Keith and Miss Candace were sitting down at a table and his old flame walked by and Candace said, Keith, do you love me more than you love her? And Brother Keith said, well, sweetheart, you know that I love you. If she would have stopped for just a minute and used some discernment, she would know you loved her more than you loved that other girl. You know how she'd know it? Because you committed your life to her. But I'm going to tell you something. If she walked in a restaurant somewhere and you and your old flame was sitting there eating together and she walked up and said, Keith, do you love me more than you love her? It would be very legitimate then. And when Jesus called Peter away from fishing and then he walks by and sees Peter over there cheating on him, fishing again, it becomes a real legitimate question then on do you love me more than you love these. I'm telling you tonight, we as the people of God commit spiritual adultery time and time again. And I know the word adultery is a serious word, but I'm telling you, we are prone to wander, prone to leave. I know all the songs and everything that's said, but we step out on God and out on the will of God, and it's very legitimate when Jesus walks up and points out what we have embraced in our life and says, hey, do you love me more than you love these? What are the these in your life? What are the these in your life? This sounds a little humorous, but Moses served God with a rod in his hand, but Jesus didn't want a fishing rod in Peter's hand. God used a rod for Moses, and he stretched it out over the water, but he didn't want Peter stretching a rod out over the water. He wanted him down in Jerusalem, getting ready for the Spirit of God to come upon him and to preach to souls to see them saved.
Amen.
Lovest thou me more than these? Lord, help me tonight. Lord, help us tonight to never put things in our hand that God does not desire for us to have. Amen. Lord, help us tonight. Jesus has proven something. Proven something about their passion. He proved that with the amount by asking by the answer. Jesus gives them a lesson about purpose. I'm almost done. Jesus says this, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Let me say something, Brother Frank. We were talking the other night about the difference in these words and what we've heard preached. And I went and looked at it, and there is some validity to what was going on and what was said. Jesus is asking Peter, do you love me? And he's using the John 3:16 love word. And Peter says, you know I love you. It's a different word translated there. And that word that is used means I have affection towards you. You know what Peter would have said earlier in his life, Brother Wells? He'd have said, Lord, you know I love you, like John 3:16. But he's done fell flat on his face. Jesus is teaching him a lesson. He said, Lord, I'm affectionate towards you. I'm just going to be real with you about who I am and what I am and where I'm at. Gives him an answer. We see Jesus tells him this. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. You see, God never takes you away from something without a purpose to give you something to do. God took Peter away from fishing because he wanted him preaching. God may take you away from something that's not really seemingly that bad. But when he does that, he has a purpose. He's purging things out of your life. But Jesus doesn't purge things out of your life for no reason. He does it with a purpose. He does it with a desire that you might be able to fully and wholly serve him and love him. Let me say this tonight. Jesus asked Peter this. You love me more than these? Do you want to fish the sea or you want to feed the sheep? Which one do you want to do? You know Peter made the right choice. He struck out, Brother Jeremiah, three times. He kept saying, you know I love you. He was grieved in his heart. He was thinking about the three times that Jesus had already talked to him. And Peter said, I'm going to stand. Three times Peter said, I'll never deny you. I'll never deny you. But the third time Jesus asked him, do you love me? Peter's mind went back to that day when for the third time he failed the Lord and the cock crew. And it grieved his heart. It grieved his heart. He said, Lord, you know how much I love you. He may not have got all the questions exactly right, but he realized where he was, and he got his heart right.
Amen.
You see that amount that he caught was a great catch. Me and Brother Jeremiah talked about this the other night. It was a great catch. As a matter of fact, Brother Jeremiah said this. He said there was probably the greatest catch that had ever been in a net that size. It had probably never gotten any better than that. That was the fisherman's dream. And Jesus said, Peter, I got a question for you. This is as good as it gets in the world. This is as good as you can have it fishing. Do you love me more than these? And ultimately with Peter's heart, because it showed in his walk, he said, yes, Lord, I do love you more than I love these. And you know what Jesus did? You step over into Acts chapter number 2. You know what Peter threw out? He threw out a spiritual net. And you know what happened? He got possibly the greatest catch in the New Testament that was ever got. The Bible said 3,000 souls were added to the church when Peter preached that day. And which one, Brother Wells? I wonder which one do you think fulfilled him more? You think that great catch when he pulled those fish to the sea or from the sea up on the shore and Jesus began to deal with Peter's heart? Or do you think that when he threw that net out and all them souls began to get saved by the grace of God, which one do you think contented him more? Which one do you think fulfilled him more? And Brother Jeremiah said this, and I thought it was good, so I'm going to say it too. He said this wasn't recorded in the sword of the Lord. This was recorded in the Bible.
Amen.
Not talking about 3,000 souls said a prayer, but God said in the Holy Word that 3,000 souls were added to the church. And if you study that book, after that took place, there were multiple people that were saved by the grace of God. And outside of Jonah and Nineveh, you won't find a greater catch or a greater revival than you find when Peter got up and preached on the day of Pentecost. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is that Jesus fulfills. He has way more to offer you. I told the young people at youth detention last night, the pastor was talking about how that the devil has a great advertisement campaign. And you know what he advertises with? He advertises with life. You know what Jesus advertises with on that cross? He advertises death. But you know what the devil's going to give you? He's going to give you death. And you know what Jesus is going to give you? He's going to give you life tonight, praise God. Everything that the devil offers tonight is a facade. You can catch 153 fish, but I'm going to tell you something. It won't do near for your heart what it'll do to stand up under the anointing power of the Holy Ghost of God and say, men and brethren, you have crucified the Lord. You have killed him and put him to death and preached Jesus, and to see sinners fall on the altar and get saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. I'd rather preach. I'd rather see sinners saved than shoot a basketball, ride a horse, fish, or do anything this world has to offer. Amen. Jesus is teaching him a lesson. He's teaching Peter a lesson. Lovest thou me more than these? Because if you say yes, I got something for you that's a whole lot better than this. You know what they had when they fished all night? You know what they got? They got fish. But you know what Jesus had for them when they got on the shore? Fish and bread. I'd whole lot eat fish on a piece of bread than eat it by itself. You know what Jesus said? You can have a little bit of life out there, but I came to give you life and give you more abundant life. It's one thing to eat a meal with some meat, but it's another thing altogether to throw a little bread in there. Jesus said, oh, go out there and feast. You can go out there and eat. You can have a little bit of meat out there, but I got fish and I got bread too. I can give you life and I can give it to you more abundantly. Devil ain't never made that promise. He does promise life, but he ain't never promised abundant life. And he can't even give life. Jesus begins to give him a lesson about purpose. Now you think about this, and I'm almost done. Some of you say, praise God. You think about this. Peter had failed the Lord, hadn't he? Jesus didn't pray that Peter wouldn't fall. A just man falls, the Bible said. But he prayed that his faith wouldn't fail when he fell. He said, I pray that thy faith fail not. He didn't pray that he wouldn't fall. That was Peter's choice. But he said, I'm going to pray that your faith does not fail if you fall. And here's what happened. Peter failed, Brother Josh. He failed God. And you know what I've done time and time again? I failed God. I'm going to tell you this tonight, and I mean this from my heart. If some of you knew what I've done since I've been saved, you wouldn't care to listen to a word I said, and I probably wouldn't care to listen to a word most of you had to say. And I'm not saying that mean. I'm telling you from my heart, Brother Kevin. I have failed God miserably. I'm going to tell you what Jesus did. There was nothing that Jesus had more important to him than his sheep. And he didn't give Peter his sheep. But he entrusted the feeding of his sheep to Peter after he failed him. Amen. You know what that tells me? It tells me that failure is not final with the Father. tells me that when I fail God, if I will choose to love Him more than what I have embraced, more than what I have left the will of God for, and I'll get up and I will take with the right heart my admonishment when God gives it to me from the Bible, from the preacher, from the brother in Christ, I'll receive that admonishment. It tells me that I can get another opportunity to feed the most precious thing that Jesus has. And that's a sheep. Yep. Now you tell me that's not forgiveness. Amen. When we forgive people, you know how we forgive them. Right. Well, I forgive you, but I ain't never going to forget. Right. Oh, and by the way, I'm not ever going to quit reminding you either that I forgave you and that I know what you did. But Jesus says, you know what, Peter, you failed me. But if you'll just love me, we'll build off that. And you can go feed my sheep. Most precious thing I got. Nothing more dear to me than my sheep. Nothing more dear to me than even my little lambs. Not just the seasoned saints of God, but them little newborn babes that are so vulnerable, Peter. Guess what? I'll let you feed them too. Now that's forgiveness. That's what Jesus will do for you if you'll learn the lesson that He's trying to teach you when you leave the will of God. We see He gave them a lesson. He used the fire. He used the fish. He used Peter's future. He let him know how he's going to die. And He used the subject of following. Because He told Peter, He said, let me tell you something. Follow me. Here's how I want you to follow me, Peter. Follow me passionately. Lovest thou me? Follow me purposefully, Peter. Feed my sheep. Follow me personally, Peter. What is it to thee what John's going to do? You follow me. You know what Peter did? He followed the Lord. And you know what Jesus did? He led him. There's nothing more scary than a life without leadership. But if you'll follow the Lord purposefully, you'll follow the Lord passionately, you'll follow the Lord personally, God might let you stand up at a Pentecost somewhere and touch somebody else's life. I'll tell you this tonight, I appreciate our pastor. And I say that with him or without him here, but I appreciate him. But I'm going to tell you something that he takes very seriously, and that is this flock. Very seriously. And I'm going to tell you something. There is no greater purpose tonight than to get the opportunity to feed the sheep of God. You don't have to be a preacher to do that. You don't have to be a pastor to do that. You don't even have to be a Sunday school teacher to do that. All you got to do is love the Lord. And if you'll love Him, He'll build off that. Now you can have all kind of knowledge. He can't do a whole lot with that. You can have all kind of zeal. And you'll cut somebody's ear off. And Jesus will have to be cleaning up the mess behind you. I want to tell you what. Jesus wasn't down there trying to fix nothing on the day of Pentecost. He was taking care of it all using Peter. And I'm so thankful tonight that Jesus can help you deal with your disappointment.